Are you going to set them all up now? That's what we should do. It's the proper pastime for it. Because we're going to hear how Brahma steals the cows and the boys. So if you associate too much with the cows, you might get taken too. Bunky, you also want to play with the cows and boys. You can.
They scare them off.
No. It's not Bunky Asura. But you can't talk when they're in the class. Otherwise you have to sit in the back. Om Ganakamirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chakshusumaritan Janatasmai Sri Vena Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Janabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadati Stapam Jantikam. Manasikopatubhyasta Kribasindubhayivata Patitaram Bhavibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. The text that we read last week, up to text 11, described Krishna's cowherd boy pastimes. This part of the Bhagavatam is very wonderful. Generally speaking, people have a very perhaps vague, conceptually vague understanding about God. And on the other hand, they have a very precise understanding of the material world, quite naturally, because in the material world, we are perceiving it continually, right? It's right before us, it's unavoidable. So when it comes between choosing, practically speaking, not theoretically speaking, but practically speaking, when it comes between choosing the material world over an abstract understanding of the Supreme, of the Absolute Truth, people, even theistical people, practically speaking, cannot help but being allured by the material world. But on the other hand, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is all attractive by definition. He is very, very precise. He looks very, very specific. His complexion is specific. His size is specific. His character, his qualities, his characteristics, they are very specific. His likes, his dislikes are very specific. His beauty is specific. He likes cows. He doesn't like goats. Not that he dislikes goats, but he's not a goat herd boy. And he doesn't like llamas. Not that he doesn't like llamas or alpacas. Cows. Specifically cows. That the Supreme Absolute Truth naturally loves village life and loves cows. He's namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmanahitaya cha, go. Cows, brahminical culture. He actually has deep reverence and affection for these on a practical level, because these are so essential for human civilization. Cows, yes, cows are essential for human civilization. And Brahmins, they give direction. They have assimilated the scriptures and they give direction towards the society. These are two foundational elements of culture, and Krishna loves them. And he loves to wear a peacock feather in his hair. And he loves to cover himself with the minerals, with practically speaking, the dust of Vrindavan. And everyone in Vrindavan loves Krishna. This is the meaning of being in Vrindavan, the actual Vrindavan. Regardless of what the residents of Vrindavan appear to be doing, and according to who they are, they do this or that, or this or that, or this or that. But what they're really always doing is thinking how to please Krishna, and their actions are only and always to please Krishna. They love Krishna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the earlier cantos, that personality's power has been described so many times. And even in this canto, in the 10th canto, his power has been described as unlimited. Try to conceive of what that means. Unlimited power. I don't know if it's still cloudy, but if we were to look outside up in the sky and we'd see, just grasp, try to understand how many planets are there, how many stars are twinkling in the sky. Or even go by the ocean, and when one stands by the ocean or looks up at the cloudless sky filled with stars, there is a feeling. Somehow one gets a sense of one's, on one hand, of being tiny and insignificant, and on the other hand, one gets a sense of eternity and being a part of something that's unlimited. And it's quite humbling, and it's quite, on one hand, it appears to be quite lonely on one hand, but on the other hand, it's very satisfying to the heart. Unlimited power. Krishna anadir adir govinda sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of everything. And this, those elements in this world, such as the ocean and the vast sky that give us a sense of unlimitedness, these themselves are so tiny compared to unlimited Krishna, unlimited universes, unlimited skies, unlimited planets, unlimited opulences of Krishna. And yet, that unlimited, unbounded Lord, there is no unlimited means that there is no binding, there is no there are no boundaries to his power and potency. There are no boundaries to his beauty, to his strength, to his fame, to his wealth, to his knowledge. He's sarvajna. He knows everything. Unlimitedly, unboundaried potency, and yet he's wandering around Vrindavan with his cowherd boyfriends, herding the cows, playing with the cows. He is the personification of bliss, ecstasy, sweetness, unlimited power, unlimited beauty, and yet he is playing on his flute, he's going out for a picnic. Why? Why does he act? When we act, there is an impelling. We are being impelled by a lack, a need. We want something, and therefore desire springs from a lack that we perceive in ourselves. That is the motivation of our acting. That is what it means to be a conditioned or controlled living entity. Conditioned means controlled. And we are all conditioned souls, controlled. What we do, we are controlled by our circumstances in every way. But what is the meaning of the unlimited, the actions of the unlimited, the unbounded, who is everything, everywhere, nothing is separate from him? What is the motivator? What pushes him? What causes his desire? And he is motivated simply by his independent desire. Svatantra means independent. He is independent. And he does and acts simply because he wants to. He has personality. He has characteristics. He wants to. And he can do whatever he wants. Because he's unlimitedly powerful. He's the supreme controller. He doesn't need anything. We can't do whatever we want, which is probably a good thing. We probably get ourselves into an extreme amount of trouble because we're so tiny. To be able to do what one wants effectively, one has to know everything simultaneously. Because if we did what, if we had unlimited power but based on limited knowledge, oh, how much trouble we would get into. We would think one thing and destroy the world or something like that, or whatever, but we wouldn't really have a full perspective of reality. Indeed, it's only Krishna who understands reality. Satchitananda Vigraha. Our consciousness just perceives a little bit of reality, whatever, depending upon how expansive our consciousness is, we perceive more or less, but we only perceive a little bit of reality. And to think that one understands all of reality while only perceiving a little bit of reality and thinking that's everything, that is called illusion. To accept that our little portion of reality is everything, that is illusion. Caused by Maya, Krishna's Maya Shakti. So Krishna, at this time, a very wonderful pastime is about to take place. Krishna, after herding the cows, is going to get an opportunity to display a small portion of his unlimited power to Lord Brahma, and we'll hear what happens. So, this is text 12. Maharaj Prickett is hearing this pastime from Sukadeva Goswami. He says, while the cowherd boys, who knew nothing within the core of their hearts but Krishna, this was their qualification. They had given themselves fully to Krishna, they knew nothing but him. He was the center of their lives. Their actions were for his pleasure. This sava bhavena bharata. This is giving one. This is the goal. This is what love of Krishna actually is. This is what it means to be a lover of God. It means to give oneself fully in love. And that is the only thing that will actually satisfy us, the soul. That is our natural constitutional position. But now, Krishna bhule se jeev. We have forgotten Krishna. The jivas in this world, Krishna bhule, forgetting Krishna. Anadi, bahyamukh, turning our back on Krishna. We are trying to act as if we are the center of things. We don't want to love Krishna. We want things to be centered around ourselves. And the result is atta eva maya tare samsareda duk. This is the result of this turning the back of Krishna. We are stuck in the material world, each in our illusion, imagining that we're the center. And therefore so much trouble, so much strife, because everyone is thinking everything should revolve around me. This is called Maya in the material world. And the result, samsarera dukkha, the miseries, the unhappinesses of repeated birth and death in the material world. So the cowherd boys and every living entity in Vrindavan, this is the qualification again for being in Vrindavan, they knew nothing within the core of their hearts but Krishna, within the core of their hearts, within the center, the essence of who they were, was just simply lovers of Krishna. And thus they were engaged in eating their lunch in the forest. And in the last class we heard about their lunch pastimes. Very, very, very sweet lunchtime pastimes with Krishna, because they were with Krishna. So full of wonder and happiness. But while they were eating their lunch, the calves went or wandered far away, deep into the forest, being allured by green grass. When Krishna saw that his friends, the cowherd boys, were frightened, he, the fierce controller of even fear itself. What is the personification of fear? We spoke about this in the Sunday class. Death, yes. All the fears, if we take the essence of fear, it is really fear of death. So that is Yamaraj. But he is the controller even of fear itself, of fear of death. He's said to mitigate the fear of the cowherd boys, because there is a mood in Vrindavan, there is just a simple mood that, oh, we have activities of taking care of the calves, of the cows, we are agriculturalists, we are village people. So the boys were afraid that their means of livelihood, the calves, they had wandered away, and their family members would be, fathers would be so upset with them. So Krishna, to mitigate their fear, Krishna was the center of everyone's existence and lives in Vrindavan. He said to his cowherd boyfriends, "My dear friends, do not stop eating. I shall bring your calves back to this spot by personally going after them myself." Here's Prabhupada's purport. In the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. In the presence of Krishna's friendship, suridam sarvabhutanam, knowing and trusting that Krishna indeed is my surit, heartfelt, dearmost friend. And he, just imagine to have as a friend someone who loves you very dearly, a person who is also all wealthy and all powerful and all knowing. Such a person as a friend, if we actually were living in that relationship, what would we be afraid of in this world? Especially engaged, if we were acting simply for his pleasure, what would we have to fear in this world? And indeed, vishwapona sukhayate, then the material world, if one is in that consciousness, the whole material world, there is no material world, in fact. One for one in that consciousness, vishwapona sukhayate, it is just simply happiness. Because one, as Prabhupada explains in a purport in the Bhagavad Gita, one in that consciousness lives within the mercy of Krishna. And here, a conditioned soul, he's trying to make his own arrangements for happiness. He's trying to manipulate the entirety of the material world to work for his pleasure, so it's comfortable for him. Just imagine what a task that is for him. We think that it's hard to give ourselves to Krishna, but if we think that's hard, try to manipulate the material world so it works the way you want it to work. and having to contend with all, because there's 6 billion other people who are trying to do the same thing, and they want it to work the way they want it to work. So not only do you have to fight the material energy, but you're fighting all the people too. Very, very, very difficult. So, in the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. Krishna is the supreme controller, the controller of even death, which is supposed to be the ultimate fear in the material world. Bhayam dvitiya vinaveshita syat. This fear arises because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there cannot be any fear. Bhayam dvitiya vinaveshita syat means that to see something as separate from Krishna, that is bhayam, that is the cause of fear. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, this material world of fear becomes hardly dangerous at all. Pavam buddhi vatsapadam param padam 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 yati padam nakesham. Brahma himself, that's from the next chapter, Brahma will say that. Bhavam buddhir, the material ocean of fear. This material world is compared to an ocean. And why is it compared to an ocean? Because an ocean is vast. From a practical point of view, it's unlimitedly vast. And no matter how expert one is at swimming, or snorkeling, or surfing, or whatever, one cannot swim across the ocean. It is just simply too vast. And therefore, imagine if we set out with our strong swimming muscles to swim across the ocean, and if we set out very bravely, at some point a terror will enter our heart, and that is the material world, when we realize that we cannot do it. So Bhavam buddhir, the material ocean of fear, because it's so vast, becomes very easy to cross by the mercy of the Supreme Controller. This material world in which there is fear and danger at every step, padam padam yad vibhadam, is not meant for those who have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Such persons are delivered from this fearful world. And then Prabhupada quotes the entirety of the verse. Samasritaye parapalava plavam mahatpadam punyaya somarari pavam buddhi vatsapadam param padam 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 yadi padam natesham. Everyone therefore should take shelter of the Supreme Person who is the source of fearlessness, and thus, by doing so, be secure. Now, at this point, I'd just like to mention, this is the last chapter that Prabhupada translated while on this planet. He translated this in 1977. So at this time, Prabhupada was extremely physically weak. And there are pictures of Prabhupada in bed as thin as can be. There's practically bones. And sitting up, and a devotee holding a microphone, not sitting up, but lying in bed, and a devotee holding a microphone by his mouth, and him speaking these words. Of course, they were edited, but so he's talking about fear and fearlessness. He's not speaking about it theoretically. He's talking about crossing the ocean of the greatest fear, which is death. And Prabhupada at this time was on the doorstep. Practically, he was walking through the door. But he was walking to the other side, and he knew what was awaiting him. And if one knows in whose hands one is going to, and whose hands one always is, then, what's that sound? Oh, we could call it interference, but that might make you feel bad. What's that called when there's a one? If you would, is that good for you to be right by there?
What?
It's because it's feeding back.
Yeah, it's just in the body, my body.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, the last line again was, everyone should therefore, and this is Prabhupada, remember, maybe, Jagatrini, could you bring that, you have that picture, don't you? You have one little picture of Prabhupada like that? You do, I've seen it. It's so amazing, and this is the kind of thing that Prabhupada is saying in this condition. Perhaps we can see it tomorrow. Everyone, therefore, should take shelter of the Supreme Person, who is the source of fearlessness, and thus be secure. Text 14. So Krishna's continuing to talk to the coward boys. Let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, because Krishna was eating too, and he had yogurt in his left hand even, and he had some pickle in his fingers, and pickle in this and that fingers, and he was taking and eating like this, and he was enjoying so much. So then Krishna, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna immediately went out to search for the calves of his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. Purport. The Vedas, Svatasvataro Upanishad 6.8, asserts that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do personally. Natasya karajam karanam javidyate. Because he's doing everything through his energies and potencies. Parasya shakti vivadaya vishuyate. Nonetheless, here we see that he took personal care to find the calves of his friends. This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate chacharacharan. All the affairs of the entire world and the entire cosmic manifestation are working under his direction through his different energies. Still, when there is a need to take care of his friends, he does this personally. Krishna assured his friends, don't be afraid, I'm going personally to search for your calves. This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Text 15. This was also a pastime. Homage Cricket. Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system, in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura. And he was astonished. Why was Brahma astonished? He was extremely powerful himself. And he knew, and he wasn't thinking that he was the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was a worshipper of Vishnu, he was a worshipper of Krishna. And yet, when he saw that his Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was wandering around Vrindavan, herding the cows with his friends and sitting there in a circle with his friends, just sitting on the ground, eating off of plates made of bark and leaves, he began to wonder, how is this possible that this is the all-powerful God? There are many religionists who have a concept of God that's the theists, but it's somewhat vague. You know, he's all powerful, he's the great controller, he's the great lawgiver, he's the creator. So when they hear also, oh, Krishna is God, and he's a coward boy, and he wears a peacock feather on his head, and he wanders through the fields of Vrindavan without shoes on. And they think, at least God must wear shoes. Is he so... Because soon as you start getting specific, that his skin is effulgent, bluish, like a monsoon cloud, they'll say, well, why isn't it red? Why is it purple? Why isn't it white? All the white people will say, why isn't it white? All the black people say, why isn't it black? All the yellow people say, why isn't it yellow? Why does he like cows? Why doesn't he like alpacas again? Why? Brahma couldn't understand. He couldn't. How is it possible that this youngish, beautiful boy is unlimitedly powerful? How is it possible? How could he be sitting there with food in his hand, with his friends, and eating as a picnic? God! So Brahma, as we'll hear, he wanted to poke Krishna to see. Let's see. That's like sometimes when you see people who are working, who are very strong, they've been working out in the gym, and they have big, big muscles, and then someone comes along who has really, really big muscles too. And maybe someone will say, I want to see how strong this one is. So I want to test him to see who is stronger. Let's see. He's supposed to be the strongest? Okay. Let me see. Maybe he is the strongest, but let me see. So he shows him a bit of his strength. Maybe he picks up a car or something like that. Well, I'll show him something and then let's see what he can do. So Brahma's mood was something like that. He was very powerful, but how can we conceive of what unlimitedly powerful means with form? Unlimited with form. Form implies boundaries. How could something that has boundaries be unlimited? And that's what he was seeing. So he wanted to poke and test. So he had observed the activities of the most powerful Christian killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. How did this little boy kill this big, big serpent, all the demigods who are afraid of him? Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power, like the fellow with the big muscles in front of the world's strongest man. He lifts a car or something like that to show, okay, let's see what you can do. So he wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, while Krishna was looking for the calves, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future he would see how powerful Krishna was. He would get a glimpse of unlimited power, because one cannot conceive of unlimited power. By definition, how can anyone, even the most intelligent person, conceive of something that's unlimited? Because as soon as you conceive of it, it fits within your consciousness. And therefore, if it fits within in your consciousness, it's limited by your consciousness, if it fully fits in there. So Brahma was going to get a glimpse. He wouldn't see the extent of Krishna's power, but after he sees something, he gets his glimpse, he's going to say to Krishna in the next chapter, he's going to say, there is so much difference between your potency and mine that I cannot even guess, imagine how potent you are. Let others say they know something about God if they want to, but I won't say I know. I'm just offering my obeisances, accepting myself as very tiny and insignificant and a servant. Here's Prabhupada's purport. When Agasura was being killed by Krishna, who was accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished. So, seeing the all-powerful do something seemingly ordinary was more astonishing to him than seeing him exhibit some power. Because when he's exhibiting his potencies, then it's clear how great he is. But when he's doing something that anyone can do, sit with their friends and eat, then is this really the Supreme Lord? So he wanted to test. He was more astonished, and he wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there. Thus, he became entangled in Krishna's maya. This will become clearer. After all, Brahma was born materially. As mentioned here, Ambo Janma Jani, he was born of Ambhoja, a lotus flower. It does not matter that he was born of a lotus and not of any man, animal, or material father. A lotus is also material, and anyone born through the material energy must be subject to the four material deficiencies. Brahma, committing mistakes. Pramada, tendency to be illusion. Vipralipsha, the tendency to cheat. And Karanapatava, imperfect senses. Thus Brahma also became entangled. He was trying to measure Krishna. Brahma, with his maya, with his own potency, wanted to test whether Krishna was actually present. Is this person really as strong as everyone says? Is this really the Supreme Lord? How could he be? He's just a little boy eating with his friends. So he's going to do something like lift a car or something. And he's doing that in front to show his strength. He's going to lift a car, the front end of a car, in front of the person who creates universes and floats planets in the sky. So we could see how impressed Krishna is going to be with that. So Brahma is going to become entangled. These coward boys were but expansions of Krishna's self, personal self. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. Later, Krishna would show Brahma how he expands himself into everything as his personal pleasure. As his personal pleasure, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Ladini Shakti Asmad. Krishna has a transcendental potency called Ladini Shakti. He does not enjoy anything that is a product of the material energy. Brahma, therefore, would see Krishna expand his energy. Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates. Now, this is tricky. It's not a... wasn't exactly clear to me what happens, but it seems to me. I'll read the paragraph and then I'll tell you what it seems. He wanted to take away Krishna's associates to test Krishna's power, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible, and instead he took away a Maya Sita. Similarly, Brahma took away a Mayar Bhaka. Boys manifest by Krishna's maya. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulence to the Mayar Bhaka, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. That he would see in the very near future. Mayar Bhakasya Ishitu. This bewilderment, this maya, was caused by the Supreme Controller. In other words, Brahma, he tried to steal away the boys, but these boys are not ordinary boys. Kritta Punja Punja, the previous verses in the 11th chapter. They are dealing with Krishna. They are expansions of Krishna's Ladini Shakti, his internal pleasure-giving potency. So he couldn't actually take them away, because he was dealing with the all-powerful. So Krishna allowed him to take away maya, some expansions of his energy that were made out of his illusory energy. So Brahma took those away, thinking he had taken away Krishna's personal associates. And he was bewildered in that way. So we immediately see how he was bewildered, because he was thinking he was doing something to trick Krishna. And he was perfectly convinced of that. But Krishna actually had fully illusioned him. He was tricking Brahma. This bewilderment, this maya, was caused by the Supreme Controller, Prabhavata, the all-potent Supreme Person Krishna. And we shall see the results. Anyone materially born is subject to bewilderment. This pastime is therefore called Brahma Vamoha Lila, the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Mohitam Navidananti Mam Ebya Param Avyayam. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna. Even the demigods cannot understand him. Uyanti yat surya. Teni Brahma Riddhaya Adi Kavaye. Everyone from Brahma down to the small insect must take lessons from Krishna. So again, these are Prabhupada's very important final instructions. We are all tiny. We are all insignificant. We should take instructions from Krishna. We should take shelter of Krishna. We should be sheltered in this fearful material world, sheltered from this ocean of material life and material miseries by Krishna. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a comment to 15. Brahma is addressed here as Ambo Janmajani. So Prabhupada's purport will say some of these things. One who is born from the lotus. This indicates that Brahma, though a living being, has a material birth. The hint is here given that Brahma was so deluded by the material energy that he wanted to test Krishna, who is the very source of Mahamaya. One should not claim that Brahma's power of illusion could actually exert influence over omniscient Krishna and his dear coward boys, because a later verse says, Vatsan Pulinam Aniya, as before Krishna took the calves to the river bank. Krishna's Lila Shakti, now this is the explanation of what was going on by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna's Lila Shakti, the potency of Krishna's that arranges the pastimes in a sweet way for Krishna's pleasure, allowed Putana to bewilder Yasoda and Krishna in order to produce Vishmaya Rasa, astonishment. Because Krishna also likes to be astonished. To produce astonishment in the Lord's transcendental pastimes. Putana could have never caused such bewilderment on her own. Brahma's power of illusion put the boys to sleep, but this was allowed only for the purpose of Krishna's pastimes. In actuality, the coward boys were put to sleep by Krishna's yogamaya potency. Sometimes, like, say if a person is doing something illegal, even in a country, the government is watching him because they want to see exactly who he's working with, and you know who are the other people that he's dealing with, and what their system is for smuggling or something like that. So it's all going on. He's thinking, I'm doing this by my power, but he's actually, it's all going on by the government's power, and then when they want to, whap, and they've caught him. So similarly, that's what's going to happen to Brahma. He's thinking, oh, just see how clever I am. But Krishna's power is allowing everything to go on, his yogamaya. This can be understood. So in actuality, the coward boys were put to sleep by Krishna's yoga maya potency. This can be understood from the latest statement, Krishna maya hatat manam. The coward boys were bewildered by Krishna's maya. So quoting later verses to prove the points that he's making now. One should not claim that after being bewildered by Krishna, the boys were taken somewhere else by Brahma. Because Brahma later said, these boys are not sleeping by my maya. Where did they come from? Sukadev says, after this, that Brahma could not understand which boys were produced by Krishna and which were created by the external energy. Sukadev would not describe the real cowherd boys as being created by the external energy. It is proper to say that Brahma had stolen some other forms of boys created by the external energy. And after seeing the killing of Agasura, Brahma wanted to see more of Krishna's power, and therefore he came to this spot. Brahma removed the coward boys and calves from the bank of the Yamuna, hid them elsewhere, and then he himself disappeared. The boys and calves that Brahma stole were created by Maya. Since that Maya arises from the Lord's Maya, one could say that everything was under the Lord's Maya. Bewildered by the Lord's energy, Brahma stole the calves and boys created by Maya in order to see Krishna's power. Brahma was thinking, when I steal the boys and calves, will Krishna show some power and another wonderful pastime? Because he had just seen the pastime of him killing Argus. So this is Brahma's thinking. Or will he search and find the cows himself? Or will he come to me and pray to get them back? Or will he not be able to understand anything? So he's saying, let's see, what is this Krishna? What does unlimited power mean? Let's see if he's more powerful than I am. Let's see. Such thoughts were possible only because Brahma was bewildered by the Lord's energy. Thus, when Brahma desired to steal the boys and calves, Yogamaya hid the real boys and calves, and Mahamaya instantly produced exact replicas for Brahma to steal. So this is what it seems, that there was one set of Maya boys and calves that Brahma was allowed to take, produced by Krishna's external energy, under his Krishna supervision. Then Yogamaya, there was another set, the real ones, all Krishna's associates, that Yogamaya took away and hid, and this will be spoken of again a little later. And then Krishna expanded himself into his own forms of cows and boys too, which were actually him. So we'll hear about that. So it seems like they're going to be, there's three sets, that's what it seems. And there's this one purport on where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, because we'll hear how for one year Krishna was playing with his own expansions, the third set, which were his own expansions. But then when the real boys, the pastime was over and the real boys came back, Krishna was so happy to see them. Because his pleasure, he couldn't feel the same satisfaction from just playing with his own expansions. This is love. This is what Krishna is. Krishna wants to reciprocate with the living entities of the different varieties of living entities to the world. This is why he empowers great devotees to preach. This is why he performs these pastimes so we can hear them and we can become attracted, because Krishna wants us to be with him. It is for our good, but this is because of love. Just like the father may be so wealthy and so happy and have everything, and then his son, he wants to break the relationship, and he's living on the street as a beggar, and the boy is, he doesn't want to go back, and the father feels some compassion. So it's not exactly that Krishna feels misery, but he does that through his compassion as expressed in the ways we just spoke of, through the Madhyama devotees, through coming himself to display his pastimes, and through the books, and by coming in the form of the holy names. And that's actually, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, what we're really doing is associating with Krishna through his holy names, and depending upon the purity of our consciousness, we're able to perceive that. But Krishna is fully there in his names. Abhinatvam namanamano, none different from him. So we can actually, so the exalted devotees, when they chant Krishna's names, when they hear the Bhagavatam, when they speak the Bhagavatam, they're actually experiencing Krishna. Because Krishna is actually there. Puranako Dunodita, the book is Krishna in Kali Yuga. So how wonderful. And when Krishna does something, he accomplishes many things by one act. So let's go on. Text 16. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, the all-powerful Supreme Lord, the all-knowing, omniscient Lord, was unable to find the calves. He returned to the bank of the river, but there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Prabhupada's short purport. Krishna could immediately understand that Brahma had taken away both the calves and the boys. But as an innocent child, he searched here and there so that Brahma could not understand Krishna's maya. This was all a dramatic performance. A player knows everything, but still he plays on the stage, an actor. He plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, comments 16. The phrase, not seeing the calves, Krishna returned, means it was an appearance of not seeing them, for Krishna knew exactly where they were. Krishna did this to make Brahma believe that he could bewilder anyone, including Bhagavan. So Brahma's bewildered into thinking that he's bewildering Krishna. Then Krishna began looking for the boys and calves. Playing the part of a distressed actor, Krishna appeared to be looking for them. Later in verse 61 it says, Brahma saw Krishna, Natyam, the actor, in the form of a cowherd boy. Text 17. When Krishna was unable to find the calves and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Brahma. Prabhupada's purport. Although Krishna was Vishwavit, the knower of everything happening in the entire cosmic manifestation, as an innocent child he showed ignorance of Brahma's actions, although he could immediately understand that these were the doings of Brahma. So he knows everything, but yet, to act as a cowherd boy, he doesn't know everything. And as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, Yoga Maya stole away the calves and the boys for Krishna's pleasure. So there are two things that seem to be going on simultaneously. Krishna knows everything, but simultaneously, for his pleasure also, he doesn't know exactly what's going on. And of course, how could you know and not know something? I know where my bead bag is, and when I know it, I don't know it. And if I don't know where my bead bag is, I also simultaneously don't know where it is. But Krishna has a consciousness that obviously it's not possible for us to comprehend. He is Sarvagya and Mugdata. Simultaneously, he compresses his consciousness, and simultaneously, he's all-knowing. To act as a cowherd boy and to get the pleasure of the pastime, he is thinking in one way. But of course, we can't understand exactly what it's like to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how he thinks, because he has unlimited consciousness. His consciousness, he is his consciousness. Everything simply serves his pleasure. So he acts, and everything is done in such a way that it produces full ecstasy for him and everyone. And we'll see some of the examples of this. And this is the meaning of Satyam Param. That he will act in such a way, the absolute truth, the all good, that the most incredible goods come from it. Only good comes from everything that Krishna does. So Brahma was already bewildered. So he's thinking, oh, Krishna doesn't know. I've tricked him and fooled him. This is text 17. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse shows why Krishna began searching further. Though Krishna is omniscient, he did not see the calves in any field, nor did he see the boys on the bank of the Jamuna. So he began searching for them. Although he's omniscient, he began searching. One searches for something when one doesn't know where it is. But how could one who is omniscient not know where something is, and therefore have to search for it? But Krishna, so he began searching for them. Did Krishna understand the theft at the time of stealing, after the theft, or after looking for some time? without having to think, Krishna understood immediately at the time of the theft that Brahma had done this. Text 18. Thereafter, just to create pleasure both for Brahma and for the mothers of the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna, the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, expanded himself as calves and boys. So Krishna then, from his own transcendental potency, expanded himself into exact replicas, duplicates of every single calf and every single boy. Because how could he go home without the boys and the calves? Then the parents would be so upset. And Krishna didn't want that to happen. Well, let's hear why else. Purport. Although Brahma was already entangled in bewilderment, he wanted to show his power to the cowherd boys. But after he took away the boys and the calves and returned to his abode, Krishna created further astonishment for Brahma and for the mothers of the boys by establishing the lunch pastime in the forest again and replacing all the calves and boys just as they had appeared before. According to the Vedas, Ekam Bahu Shyam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can become many, many millions upon millions of calves and cowherd boys as he did to bewilder Brahma more and more. 18. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. While Brahma, believing that he had bewildered Krishna, was being mystified by the Lord's energy, Krishna, along with his calves and boyfriends, returned home and began performing his usual pastimes, such as eating, as if they were never bewildered by Brahma. This is not at all astonishing. In order to show his ability to bewilder everyone, including Balaram, to fulfill the desires of the gopas and gopis to have Krishna as their own son, to bewilder Brahma and throw him into the ocean of dismay, to show Brahma thousands of forms of Vasudeva, the object of his devotion, after having taught him the Bhagavatam, Krishna took the forms of the calves and boys. So it was probably a little hard to follow because I was reading a little quickly. But by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is explaining, by this one act of expanding himself, Krishna did so many things. And one of them was to bewilder Brahma. Another was to cause Brahma dismay, because when Brahma would be confronted with the glimpse of how powerful Krishna was, he would feel terrible that he had done something to offend Krishna. And at the same time, and we'll hear about this, Krishna willing, tomorrow, he's going to show that even Balaram can't understand what Krishna is doing. And at the same time, all the cows, mother cows, and all the mothers of the boys, for 1 year, are going to have Krishna's expansion, or Krishna, as their beloved sons and calves. So they're going to have a chance to serve Krishna just as Mother Yasoda did. So Krishna's doing all these things at the same time, and plus giving us an opportunity to hear and talk about his pastimes and get clarify our understanding what is possible and what is impossible for God, and that he's a person. So many, many things happening all at once. And this isn't difficult for Krishna to do. What is difficult for someone who's unlimitedly powerful to do? Text 19. By his Vasudeva feature, Krishna simultaneously expanded himself into the exact number of missing cowherd boys and calves, with their exact bodily features, their particular type of hands, legs, and other limbs, their sticks, bugles, and flutes, their lunch bags, the particular type of dress and ornaments placed in various ways, their names, ages, and forms, and their special activities and characteristics were all individuals. Every individual, by definition, has different characteristics. So the cows, even animals, are different. If anyone has ever dealt with any animals, They are such personalities. There's no two dogs are the same. There are no two cows or calves that are the same. Or birds, you know, we don't see it in the ants so much, perhaps, or flies. But I've noticed that some flies, they get when they're, if you're in a room and they want to get out and they can't get out, some get very angry at you and they buzz around you and make you slap yourself in the face or something like that. And then others don't do something like that. They're individuals. But Krishna, exactly, every characteristic of every boy, to the smallest detail, he expanded himself and became like that. And not only the boys, but the calves. So Krishna had done that. So by, and their special activities and characteristics, each, everyone has their own fingerprints, their own voice, their own way of doing this and scratching their head and or whatever. And Krishna expanded himself to be exact replicas. So by expanding himself in this way, beautiful Krishna proved the statement, Samagra Jagad Vishnu Mayam, Lord Vishnu is all pervading. Hope it has a purport here. I won't read that right now. Or Vishwanath's. Text 20. Now expanding so as to appear as all the calves and cowherd boys, all of them as they were, and at the same time appeared as their leader. So Krishna didn't, when he expanded himself, he still remained Krishna. He didn't lose anything. He still, because he's unlimitedly powerful, unlimited expansions can come from him and there wouldn't be a loss of potency. That's inconceivable. So Krishna, with all the cowherd boys and calves, entered Brajabhumi, the land of his father, Nanda Maharaj, just as he usually did while enjoying their company, their cowherd boys and cows' company. Purport. Krishna usually stayed in the forest and pasturing ground, taking care of the calves and cows with his associates, the cowherd boys. Now that the original group had been taken away by Brahma, Krishna himself assumed the forms of every member of the group without anyone's knowledge, even the knowledge of Baladev, and continued the usual program. He was ordering his friends to do this and that, and he was controlling the calves and going into the forest to search for them when they went astray, allured by new grasses. But these calves and boys were he himself. This was Krishna's inconceivable potency. As explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranayava Kriti Ladini Shakti Asmad. Radha and Krishna are the same. Krishna, by expanding his pleasure potency, becomes Radharani. The same pleasure potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, was expanded by Krishna when he himself became all the calves and boys and enjoyed transcendental bliss in Vrindavan in Brajabhumi. This was done by the Yogamaya potency and was inconceivable to persons under the potency of Mahamaya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the next five verses describe how Krishna continued his usual program of enjoying pastimes in the morning, noon, and evening in the village exactly as before. How did Krishna, the soul of all, enter Braja? He entered as Swayam Atma, as himself, and brought back the calves, who were also himself, along with the cowherd boys, who were also himself, and played with the other boys, who also were himself. The boys would sit on the same bank of the river and eat. The calves would herd in the green meadows, and Krishna would wander from forest to forest searching for the calves. In this way, one moment extended for a whole year with Krishna acting as everyone. Yet, it was unnoticed by all. Krishna, the boys, and their calves wandered every day in Braj enjoying different pastimes, untouched by the rain, wind, or sun. By the power of Krishna's Achintya Shakti, his inconceivable potency, even Baladev could not detect the difference. After this illusion was ended,
Brahma saw the same Krishna with a stick and a lump of yoga rice in his hand, and Brahma then offered prayers in all humility. And that will be the next chapter.
21. O Maharaj Prickett, Krishna, who had divided himself as different calves and also as different cowherd boys, entered different cow sheds as the calves and then different homes as different boys. Krishna had many, many friends, Prabhupada explains, of whom Sridham, Sudham, and Subal were prominent. Thus Krishna himself became Sridham, Sudham, and Subal, and entered their respective houses with their respective calves. The mothers of the boys, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and bugles being played by their sons, immediately rose from their household tasks. They lifted their boys onto their laps. They embraced them with both arms, and they began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna, the Param Brahma, and Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarian beverage. What can we, who are trapped in material consciousness, have tending towards selfishness and self-absorption, what can we know of what love for Krishna is like, what the heart feels like? One time Prabhupada was asked, what is it like in Krishna Loka? And Prabhupada replied, you won't be bothered by the draft board. This was during the 60s when they were drafting people. In other words, what can someone in material consciousness know of the spiritual world? What to speak of the love that exists between Krishna and those who love him in a motherly mood, and how much ecstasy they experience by feeding Krishna their breast milk. We can glimpse it to some degree by whatever our most intimate, the relationship that we have that's most pleasing to the heart, whether it's a friend to friend, or parent to child, or madhurya rasa, or or conjugal rasa, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, something like that. If we could take that, whatever pleasure we get at the highest moment of that, and times it by a billion, 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 billion. And how can you do that in your mind? You can't, but we can just get a glimpse. It's something very, very different. Chandra Shakanyaya, the moon is over there above the limb of the tree. It gives us a glimpse of the ecstasy that the mothers and the cows, they had the chance to feed their calves their own milk, as did the mothers. Ecstasy. And amazingly enough, because it was done with love for Krishna, Krishna was tasting as if it was a nectarian beverage. He was drinking with ecstasy because they were giving in ecstasy. And in that is the secret in Krishna consciousness of bhakti yoga. We give with love, and Krishna gives with love. We want to do things mechanically, or want it to be easy. We want to save for ourselves, but bhakti doesn't work like that. It's yayatam mam prapadyante. As much love as we give to Krishna, Krishna gives to us. If we are atheists and think God is nothing and give him nothing, he says, okay, then everywhere they look, they'll see nothing. He gives them that vision. And for a devotee, premanjana charita bhakti valochanena,
because her eyes, his eyes are smeared with the salve of love. He sees Krishna and love of Krishna everywhere. There's nowhere. He looks where he doesn't see Krishna, and for an atheist, there's nowhere he looks and where he does see Krishna. This is the gifts of Krishna according to our heart, our consciousness, our desires. So what are they experiencing? What can we say about it except to read some of the comments and then point, the moon is up there right above the tree. It's a billion times what we can, at the highest points of our happinesses that we can imagine, ecstasy. So, yes, Vishwanath says, the word sudasavam indicates that to Krishna their breast milk tasted like nectar, and since it was saturated with their prema, their love, that was the nectar. Even if someone offers, whatever someone offers Krishna, if it's saturated with love, Krishna will accept it with nectar, like nectar, and if it's not saturated with love, he has no taste for it. It had the intoxicating effect of wine, Vishnath said. So it filled Krishna with joy. The elderly gopis' inner ambition was to have Krishna as their son. So the Lord fulfilled it in this pastime of bewildering Brahma. He fulfilled their desire. Thus for 1 year, Krishna enjoyed the special transcendental pleasure created by Yogamaya between all the mothers and himself. That is why Brahma said, in great pleasure, they drank the nectar from their mother's breasts. He'll later say that. 23. I have to finish a certain amount of texts. So you're being very, very patient. Thank you. It's too long. Thereafter, O Maharaj Prickett, as required according to the schedule round of his pastimes, Krishna returned in the evening. He entered the house of each of the cowherd boys and engaged exactly like the former boys, thus enlivening their mothers with transcendental pleasure. The mothers took care of the boys by massaging them with oil. This is the pleasure of the parents, to serve their children. And when that child is Krishna, and you're a lover of Krishna, smearing their bodies with sandalwood pulp, decorating them with ornaments, chanting protective mantras, decorating their bodies with tilak and giving them food. In this way, the mothers served them personally. Thereafter, all the cows entered their different sheds and began mooing loudly, calling for their respective calves. When the calves arrived, the mothers began licking the calves' bodies again and again. You see this in Vrindavan. This is how the mothers, the cows, express their love for the calves. And you see the young calves' bodies, they're very, very, very soft fur. You see it all the time. Some parts are going this way and some parts are going that way because of the, you've seen? Because of the licking of the mother cows. Because this is their love. This is their love. Oh, animals don't have souls. Don't worry about it. You can just take... How is it possible that they love, and it's so obvious when you see it, how it's so obvious that they love their calves. How is it they don't have souls? So cruel. It's their rationale. They don't have feelings, that means. We can do whatever we want. We won't even speak about what they do, what they want. But how hard, how cruel, how demonic. That's the only word for it, demonic. So the mothers began licking the calves' bodies again and again,
and profusely feeding them with their milk flowing from their milk bags. So this was, they were dealing with Krishna in this way.
Vishwanath says,
yes, their affection increased because they were dealing with Krishna now. 25. Previously, from the very beginning, the gopis had motherly affection for Krishna. Indeed, their affection for Krishna exceeded even their affection for their own sons. In displaying their affection, they had thus distinguished between Krishna and their sons, but now that distinction disappeared. Prabhupada's purport. The distinction between one's own son and another's son is not unnatural. Many elderly women have motherly affection for the sons of others. They observe distinctions, however, between those other sons and their own. But now the elderly gopis could not distinguish between their own sons and Krishna, for since their own sons have been taken by Brahma, Krishna had expanded as their sons. Therefore, their extra affection for their sons, who are now Krishna himself, was due to bewilderment resembling that of Brahma. Previously, the mothers of Sridham, Sudham, Subal, and Krishna's other friends did not have the same affection for one another's sons. But now the gopis treated all the boys as their own. Sukadeva Goswami therefore wanted to explain this increment of affection in terms of Krishna's bewilderment of Brahma, the gopis, and the cows, and everyone else.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains.
Yes, their affection was increasing. And we'll just read two more verses. Although the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, the cowherd men and cowherd women, previously had more affection for Krishna than for their own children, now for 1 year their affection for their own sons continuously increased, because that is the nature of love for Krishna. It continuously increases. Now for 1 year their affection for their own sons continuously increased, for Krishna had now become their sons. There was no limit to the increments of their affection for their sons, who are now Krishna. Every day they found new inspiration for loving their children as much as they love Krishna.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, previously,
and now the final verse. In this way, Lord Krishna, having himself become the cowherd boys and groups of calves, maintained himself by himself. Thus he continued his pastimes both in Vrindavan and in the forest for 1 year. And Prabhupada's short purport. Everything was Krishna. The calves, the cowherd boys, and the maintainer himself were all Krishna. In other words, Krishna expanded himself in varieties of calves and cowherd boys and continued his pastimes uninterrupted for 1 year. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's expansion is situated in everyone's heart as a supersoul. Similarly, instead of expanding himself as the supersoul, he expanded himself as a portion of calves and cowherd boys for one continuous year. Okay. And tomorrow, Krishna willing, will hear how Baladev, Balaram, reacts to this. Because he also doesn't understand what's going on. Krishna also has fooled him. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai, Krishna's cowherd boy pastimes ki jai, Brahma Gamoha Lila ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.